Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shir.
Rabbi Kalish, thank you for joining me for a live podcast here at Bordeaux. How's Yom Tov going so far for you?
Great. Baruch Hashem.
You're keeping people up in the lobby until 4 a.m. What is going on over there? It's getting pretty loud. I'm on the 10th floor and I hear you. I can't imagine what the second and third floor are like. And they pay extra, no? It's such good floors. So we're going to have a really honest conversation about chinuch, education. I think off the bat, I want to just address the elephant in the room. Now you guys are interested, right? That sounds very serious. Pepsi or Coke? No, I'm kidding. There are those who criticize your approach to chinuch as too lenient, as too open, as too unconditional. If they're listening to this right now, what would you say to those people?
I would definitely say good in my in, that for sure.
Let's say it's not all right. Then what are you going to say? I stomped you with that one, huh?
Oh, you really jumped right in. I like that.
Yeah.
We didn't waste any time.
Yeah. Who wants small talk? You guys aren't here for small talk. No small talk time. We have a concert in an hour, you know?
It would really, the conversation would backtrack. When somebody would say your approach in chinuch, I would ask them what chinuch is. And when you say your approach, and before we get in any debate, any conversation, to me, a very secular mindset of what chinuch is like manipulations. How to manipulate kids to do things. That would be a very Western and secular approach to education. How do we get a room full of kids to do something that we want? And I think the Western world would view that as a good educator. If you're a grand manipulator, say you're a good educator. And then sometimes somebody coming, what's your approach in chinuch? Says, how do you manipulate guys? Do you use the love thing? Or you use punishments? Or you lose? I think it's first important to establish that a mechanic, an approach in chinuch, as parents, as yeshivas, is to try to present something authentic, something that rings true, something that's honest. I think it's very hard to be honest. In our own private lives, it's hard to be honest and authentic. It's hard. We have many things we want to run from and ignore. And it's easier to present than to turn in and be honest. To then be honest, you know how hard it is? Do you know why your podcast is scary? You know what's scary?
My podcast?
Any.
Okay, that's fair.
Yours, do you know why your podcast is scary? And you know why the generation of today love podcasts? I would love to stand here and give a speech. I'd love now, I'll give a speech. A podcast asks, you're asking questions, and it says no speech. A podcast would like that I would curse.
Whoa. Now it didn't see you going there.
A podcast wants drop no speaking. Don't get up and say a speech. Like really, what are you, what's behind you? What's behind the speech? What's inside? It's difficult. I could say I'll do a podcast and then turn things into speeches. A podcast said, what are you feeling? So Nachi asks, if somebody comes and attacks, what would you say? First thing is I'd be very scared. Oh my gosh. Oh no, they're attacking. Oh no. Who am I? What do I say? So there are a lot of things I feel. What I want to express about chinuch is it's very hard to be honest. Very hard to ever be with yourself alone in a room. It's hard to be honest. Then stand in front of a classroom with kids. It's double hard to be honest. You're in front of people and you're trying to be sincere, authentic, and real. To me, the best mechanchim and mechanchos in the world are people that not just could be honest in private, but standing in front of youngsters or any age people can then be honest and real and authentic. Even the sharing of Torah is something that hits you and then you share it from that space, a very honest space. So that was what, to me, that would be a good mechanic. Somebody who's honest and sharing something honest. If somebody would ask that your approach is to just love them and things like that, that's not the approach. It's not.
So you want to clear that up then?
I think somebody should be honest. And what I'm trying to do, personally trying in my own life, is I'm trying to be honest. It's a journey to honesty, to authenticity. And I'm trying to share something honest. So it's not a sheet of some just love. The guys who've taught me a ton, you know, the guys hate the word a warm Rebbe. The guys make fun of a warm Rebbe. Can we have warm Rebbeim? To the guys that are the most cynical about a warm Rebbe. That's not to rip any person. People are trying. A warm Rebbe sees kids, and maybe if they're a little difficult or, you know, struggling, so be nice to the struggling ones. That's the mashmois, the implication of a warm Rebbe is like he's trying to be warm. Don't be warm, don't be cold. Be you. Be you. Be present. Be honest. So that's the approach would be an attempt to try to be honest. It's less shitadik. It's less like philosophically what we hold than what works for me and what works for the friends that I'm close to.
I think you're what you've built with Waterbury, we can call it that, right? It's very, at the time, it was very revolutionary. There really weren't many yeshivas like that. I still think there aren't. So I think anyone who's doing something like that is vulnerable to criticism. Do you think that you're misunderstood in your mission?
He's getting right in.
What do you think this was? You thought I was going to ask you what you ate for dinner today? I know you had steak. You guys want me to ask less intense questions?
No, I'm perfect.
Okay. It's only getting hotter from here. But yeah. Are you misunderstood or McGinnish? Sounds so intense with the mic. Are you?
I can't answer the question. I don't feel misunderstood. I'll say that. I want to say the point. I'll even ask a question on the yeshiva. I'll be Nachi for a minute. You be Daniel.
That's not
I'll be
fair.
Nachi.
That's not fair.
But I want to reframe when you say you're misunderstood. One of the questions that often asked is Waterbury lechatchila or b'di'evin?
That's a good question. Yes or no? What is it?
So, no, but I want to explain like this. Every Beis Medrash in the world is not for everybody. There's no Beis Medrash that everybody learns in. So we have Batei Midrashos across the world. Every Beis Medrash is learning Torah and producing a truth that should impact the entire world. And I want to say I'm zoicha to be in a Beis Medrash. I'm zoicha to be in a place that has a truth that's relevant to the entire world, from one end of the world to the other. And every Beis Medrash that's plugged into Torah and Yiddishkeit has a truth. And in Waterbury, there's a truth that I believe is needed in our Beis Medrash, a truth that's needed in every Beis Yaakov and Beis Medrash in the world. And I think that's a very...
What is that truth? If you could boil it down to like one sentence.
I would use, there would be two words, true truths, that we are souls, every single person in here, that we're a soul that wants Hashem and wants Torah, one truth. That would be the main truth I'd want to say. I want to say, and this, I did not decide I'm not big enough, or like, it's not my decision to take on the chinuch of America. We are tremendous rebbeim. We have gedolim and tzaddikim. I can only be in the position I'm in and try to, I was asked by Rabbi Kaufman, Shlita, the Rashiva, whatever, I was asked to run a masifta, to be the manal of a masifta. I was asked to try to find my way and to help other people find their way. Our schools are, and this is not to rip anything, it's to say one man's perspective, and maybe that truth can help others. In secular education, again, we try to manipulate people. So we do have some sort of race to be the top tier yeshiva. We have a certain, we want a boy to be a certain tier, and that's the goal. If he can't get there, at least two, and at least the third tier. And what sometimes we turn Yiddishkeit into some sort of scholastic race. Even for a youngster might watch this program, say, hey, I want to be meaningful also. I think that's remarkably dangerous. This program, I understand, meaningful people means a yid. A meaning, it's not, we're not, when we were, there was a day that we were a very small group. We were a small amount of Bnei Torah. I'm thinking about my parents. When my father decided to learn Torah, he had come, his mother had gone to public school. There was no big yeshiva movement. And at that point, he was welcomed and wanted. When my Rebbe met Rav Aaron with a ring on his finger at 13, Rav Aaron wanted him and just saw a yid and wanted to learn Torah with the yid. Today, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, our yeshivas are full, our Beis Yaakov are full. And we could have the danger of having scholastic competition to be relevant. I also want to make my mark. I also want to be chal. So a boy has to like do something, stand out, produce something, finish something that is remarkably dangerous and has a lot of sheker to that, a lot of falsehood to that. But yid, by his nature, counts. By her nature, she counts. The biggest things in the world are very, very quiet. Meaningful people means I'm a yid, I'm up here, I'm a meaningful person. And I see in the crowd, how many in the crowd, Nachi, here now?
In the media world, we would say 10,000 people. So,
they're big people, so it feels like 10,000. Then there are 10,000 meaningful people right here. Probably a little less, I'm probably a little less meaningful because it's loud. That which is quiet, that which is authentic, that which is sincere, is meaningful. And the danger of a chinuch system that has many, and so it comes from richness. We have many kids in our class. So it becomes, if you don't fight this, it will be natural to be a scholastic competition, to be chal. I have the longest hours, I do the most, I finish the most, which some could say, okay, that as a metayach shaloi lishma, ba'al lishma, that's fine. But it has a danger that what's valuable is the sincere yid alone in their room, they pray to God, and that's huge. What's valuable is somebody's kind to their wife, a wife kind to a husband. I see at the hotel, you see a lot of parents holding their children. That's the most, the biggest chesed that we know of. There's no bigger chesed in the world. And there's a danger in a world which teaches competition, competitiveness, be chal, be the top, don't settle for mediocrity. We actually destroy something that's really beautiful, is sincerity. Quiet. Not everybody sees that.
So you wouldn't agree with the Aleph Beis Gimel share model that I myself grew up in?
I don't want to simplify it because maybe we have to divide up because this class needs more, this class needs less. I don't want to simplify. I want to say that it's huge that we teach the truth. Huge.
And what's the truth? You keep alluding to truth.
Don't manipulate a class to production. Put somebody in front of the class who's serving God in a real way. It's not if the job of the one in front is to try to get the most out of the guys, out of the girls, to pull out, you're missing something. There are souls in front of us. Put somebody authentic who's coming in. It's not about getting people to do things. By the way, if you're teaching Torah, teach something that resonates by you. Less trying to get the class, my class, finish this. That's nice. That's very nice. And I'm not underplaying finishing the sechtas and accomplishments. In the yeshiva for many years, we had siyumim at the end of the year. For now, I stopped it. Now, I'm not against siyumim. Siyum, my father taught us to have a chavivas at Torah and to learn Torah and finish Torah.
Your father finished us every single year.
Siyumim are awesome. I want kids to know that what counts, a kid learned a line beautifully, and sincerely is the deepest thing on planet Earth. I don't want it to be a scholastic race. So for now, I don't say I won't go back to Siyumim. For now, I felt that it took guys away from something authentic. Now, it's not knocking. People make Siyumim, and schools could have some degree of competition, and they do by giving... To me, every single kid in our boys' schools and girls' schools deserve respect. Respect is not because of your accomplishment. I think that works. Imagine we would say in our schools, you only get lunch if you do well today. It would have a good effect. You don't get food if you don't behave. It would work to a degree. So what we do is we only give kavod. You only get respected if you produce. He or she doesn't produce. I think that's a deep lie. Rev Hirsch said the bedrock of education is to, the Rambam says that Rebbe is mechoyev, is obligated to respect his Talmidim. It's not New Age. It's a Rambam, Perakei Hilchos Talmud Torah. Rebbe has to respect his Talmidim. I was once at a gathering of teachers, and somebody stood up and said, "You're dangerous."
Who said that?
A teacher said... I remember it was on the right side, I had good peripheral vision. He stood up to say...
It was a he, okay.
It was a he. But he said, "You're dangerous if you respect kids. The kid's doing bad stuff and you respect him." It's not a shita, it's a truth that a person's to be respected deeply and profoundly. It's not a shita, it's just the truth. A person's to be respected, it's not totally on the accomplishments. It actually first, the person... is deserving of kavod, of a tremendous innate respect, and the neshama is to be respected. And that nikuda, that it's not scholastic races, and it's not to be chal and to be noticed in the class, so then you have to outperform the others, I think that's remarkably dangerous. I think somebody then would look to do chesed in ways that get in the paper, and not chesed to a husband, to a wife, to a child. I think greatness and serving Hashem is subtle, is sincere, is authentic, and you can have Shalei Lishma. There could be some races, but you have to counter that by teaching the truth of what's valuable, of what's precious.
That sounds amazing.
We'll be right back to this episode with Rabbi Kayla Shakugward for my friends at Fresh Start. You know, we all have things in our past that might be affecting our present or even our future, but it doesn't need to be like that. Introducing Fresh Start, a 7-day intensive retreat designed for men and also for women. They have separate men's and women's retreats that will help you heal the trauma from your past. And most importantly, connect with your authentic self. So join Fresh Start for 7 incredible days with expert-led sessions and transformative workshops, complemented by a serene setting and, of course, kosher cuisine, brought to you by Jewish Fresh Start. That is jewishfreshstart.com. Who is this endorsed by, your ass? Well, Ron Lapiansky, the Stalina Rebbe, the Bayana Rebbe, Rav Meir Simcha Bakst, and many others. This thing is really, really sought after and valued by our leading Rabbanim because it's making an incredible difference. That is jewishfreshstart.com, jewishfreshstart.com. Or if you need to call someone, you can call them at 248-301-997. That is 248-301-997. Your Fresh Start can start today. This episode is sponsored by my friends at Kollel Chabad. Yes, my friends, tzedakah never became so easy to give, right? No longer are those days where you need to go find a place where you can put your tzedakah in a pushka. You have that on your phone, the pushka app, the tzedakah pushka app from Kollel Chabad. You're going to go to pushka.cc/meaningful. That's pushka.cc/meaningful and give tzedakah. And every single time you're giving, you're supporting a widow, a family in need, orphans. All being done by Kollel Chabad. So go ahead right now to the App Store and download pushka.cc/meaningful, the app that will keep on giving. Because when you give, you're not really giving, you're getting. When you're giving, you're getting. And when you start to realize that, it'll change your life.
I love what you're saying and I'm eating it up. And I'm just wondering why there aren't more yeshivas like Waterbury that adopt this model and that do this. There is a huge focus on the academic end, how much we can finish, how quick, how many siyumim we can make,
and so on. I think everyone in this room who's been to yeshiva understands that as well. Unless they went to your yeshiva. Now, why aren't there more of those? Why are people even rejecting that model? What are they scared of?
I don't wanna say everybody should do the same thing. Every Beis Medrash, and the Beis Medrash where there is a lot of competition, they probably bring out people mean real. So you see youngsters, this young kid finish us. That's very real, that's remarkable. And you see 58 guys in the class finish Baba Basra. I'm moved by that. That's amazing. And nobody's the judge of Lishma and Mitar Shaloi Lishma, Ba Lishma, wonderful. And that Beis Medrash can teach us something. But every Beis Medrash has their Chiddush that they're bringing to the world. If anybody studied Pshescha, brought a certain Metzias to the world. In some way, I don't say Waterbury's Pshescha, I do say that it's modeled towards that. I think our Beis Medrash is bringing something that is impacting. And Rebbeim and Talmidim are plugging into something that's authentic, that a person's finding an Avodas Hashem that's quiet and just meaningful to the person, that's not necessarily loud. The world of Hasidus is full of celebrating the simple person. The simple person who daven. Now you could say it's very dangerous. By the way, every Beis Medrash has a danger. If you celebrate the simple person, are you going to stunt production? Are you going to hurt she'ifas, aspirations? And one could ask them, I want to say, our neshamas aspire. Nobody needs to get us to aspire. The neshama wants, and wants a lot. The neshama wants everything. It wants Hashem. The neshama, the soul wants. But one can claim on a Beis Medrash that celebrates that which is simple. So then what's the motivation? The guy, and I think you have to be real about it. And when we tap into our souls, the soul wants a lot and wants big things.
I'm going to close the parentheses on this like line of questioning. I know I'm really, you know, coming at you strong on this topic, but I really want to like leave no stone. Finish expression, whatever it means. If someone were to come over to you, they spend a day in your yeshiva, they say it's incredible. People are expressing themselves. They're living their truth. And they say, but there's boys who are walking around with this haircut, and there are guys who maybe don't wear a yarmulke, and there's guys that do this and that, and they have questions about that. What do you answer to that?
I think somebody, I would first ask a person to come visit. I do ask people. It's kedai to see. I had 12 bachrim, top guys from Lakewood, from BMG. And they called, they were between the ages of 25 and 28. They were mitsuyanim. Their level of learning was astounding. And they asked to come for a year, to join a masifta for a year, and they came. They were there for 2 years, Baruch Hashem.
What was their agenda?
They wanted to see something. They wanted to see this, the honesty that they've heard about. And they plugged in. All of them said it was life-changing. All of them. And they sat in the Beis Medrash with what you're describing. It's true. There's a guy who walks in without a yarmulke. It's true. And it's really true that people could just be themselves and be comfortable. It's true that at 4 in the afternoon, guys come in to put on tefillin. And 5 and 6, and they're asked not to hide. Come to the Beis Medrash and put on your tefillin, and then pray to Hashem. And it's a place where people are asked not to hide. And I would respect anybody who says, whoa, that's dangerous. I think all truths could be dangerous. I really respect that. I also think there's a tremendous gain of honesty and something, a tremendous yes to plug into. So I get it. Adam, there's lines. Adam nimshach achas divaisav. People are impacted by their environment. And I my own children, I send to the yeshiva because I wanted them to be impacted by honesty. I wanted them to be in an honest pursuit of Hashem, Hashem's Torah, of Hashem's people. So yeah, you know, there's different ways. There are different approaches. But I do think there's a Beis Medrash of honesty that's very powerful for our people.
I appreciate that.
I have my phone out here. If you, anyone has my number and wants some questions asked, that's what I'm looking at. Some people in the meeting from the community knew that I was sitting down with Yerba Kalish and they're sending me questions. So if you have my number, feel free. A question that was sent in, which I think is one that's going to, you know, requires you to open up a bit here. It says, is there a moment you handled something wrong with a student and it taught you something important?
Definitely. There's plenty of places to go to make mistakes. We have plenty of places to go. But I'll tell you what's coming to my mind now. In the early years of the yeshiva, I threw out some guys out of Waterbury in the early years of yeshiva. It's been many years since that's happened. And the throwing out is a very difficult, even to say the word. I'm like shamed. I'm standing in front of a lot of friends, a lot of people. And I've apologized to some. I've apologized to the ones that I could apologize. And even the throwing out was always the understanding that if you're not being safe, if you get safe, you can come back. I think every kid understood that. Today, I don't believe a yeshiva, and again, it's not said to disparage anybody. I'm talking to me, this guy threw kids out. I don't think a yeshiva could ever throw a kid out. I don't think so. The kid's hard, figure out to get help. I don't think there's such a, I think it's arrogance. I'm embarrassed. Looking now, the guys are older. I spent a Shabbos, I made a Shabbos for alumni a couple of months ago, and a guy showed up on the Shabbos, and he said, he has a wife and children, he said, you threw me out of the yeshiva, and he said, thank you, you saved my life. And I apologized probably about 10 times over Shabbos, I'm embarrassed from him. And I don't look, he says, you saved my life. I don't look at it that way. He grew, and Hashem is more powerful than us all, and directed, and people can survive one human being's mistakes. But I don't look at it that way. I had no right. It was arrogance. I don't think you could look at a youngster and say, get out. I don't see how not to take. I hear the school probably has the option.
That deserves a round of applause, no? You don't think that you choose to throw
yourself? I don't think you can. I don't think you're allowed to throw. To me, it's crazy. I can't believe I did that. And I'm wrong. Anybody listening who was thrown out, this guy, Daniel Kish, was completely wrong. It's a sin. And I don't see how somebody can do it. It's been many years, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. I don't see how you could look at somebody and say, get out. I don't know what planet you live in. Who are you? And to me, if somebody's struggling, so figure it out. When you throw out a kid, I'll tell you what happens. I was called in by Rosh Yeshiva, a very good person. And he said, I heard this Chilul Shabbos in Yeshiva. So I said, Rebbe, can I ask a question? Do you think there's a kid, and if he comes to you, you teach him Shabbos, and he comes to me, I teach him Chilul Shabbos? Said, Rebbe, the guy you threw out for Chilul Shabbos comes to us. So now I have a Mechalel Shabbos, and then he becomes from. So I want to express, when you throw out a kid, what you've done is you've helped your school. Your school's more prestigious. Hashem's kids are the exact same. You haven't changed the equation at all. Your school is better. You've helped your school. Have you helped Hashem? And to me, there's an arrogance to tell a kid, get out, is very, very, very wild. I don't see how somebody could do that. Personally, again, either people do it, I don't think people mean bad, and I understand cheshbonus, but he's hurting other kids, areidef, these type of svaras. I think it's easy to go those places. I think kids struggle, and I think the rejection of the hard kid damages the best kid in the class. I think when we reject the struggling kid, we've literally hurt the best kid in the class. When parents have the hardest kid in the family, picture a home, if they would throw out the hardest kids, Hashem Yerachim, they've hurt the best kid in their family. Because it's saying, we're only accepted if you stay within this. That's ridiculous.
What does a parent do to, let's say, I hate using the word protect, because I don't like that, but like, you have a kid in the house that is exhibiting certain behaviors that could have a negative influence in that scenario. And I know there's Avi Fishoff believes perhaps send out the good kids for a couple of weeks and focus on the one who's, you know, not behaving the same way you do for someone who's chas shalom sick. But what's your thought process when it comes to that?
I want to say one point on that. The same Hashem who gave you this child and knows that you need this child gave this those siblings their sibling. So I think faith that Hashem, the same Hashem who gave the parent this child, gave the siblings their sibling. I have seen that the struggling kid really defines the whole yeshiva. When the yeshiva is patient, understanding with that girl and that boy, it's an aliyah for the entire yeshiva. They're often the most sensitive souls out there. Kipshuta, it's not a funny thing to say. The deepest, most sensitive souls struggle in this earth. And the more patience, understanding, tapping in, the more everybody gains. Everybody. I worry when schools throw out a kid, I worry for the strong kid. What messaging has he got or she gotten? Then the production that, again, whoa, I don't want to go there. That's not the energy of serving Hashem. That's not it.
You're saying have faith in the kids. Have faith in the classmates or the family members that they have the strength to withstand whatever is going on in their house.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll be right back to this episode with Rabbi Kalish. Quick shout out to my friends at La Lechet. They had a busy week flying so many people to Karastir for Rabbi Shalai's yard site. And my friends, it's not too late to book your trip with them wherever you want to go. You know, a lot of people like to go in the summer on trips to Poland. They like to go to the camps to really connect with their ancestry. They like to go maybe to Israel. Well, La Lechet has you covered. Go to lalechet.com. That is lalechet.com. Because travel, tours, what you're going to eat, how you're going to get around, all of that, A to Z, can be done by La Lechet. No more where you just need to go this travel agent, that pickup company, that travel concierge. No, no, no. La Lechet has you covered from A to Z. That is lalechet.com. My friends, this episode is also sponsored by my friends at Torah App. You know, the person who's featured in this episode, Rabbi Kalish, his shiurim is on Torah App. Now, they have over 1 million shiurim on Torah App, which I can't even fathom. That is probably the most on any Torah app. 6,000 plus farm with translation. They have a smart sitter, Ashkenaz, Chabad, Nusach Ari, all on this app, Torah app. You have offline access to Sfarim, and you can search your database, which gives you instant access to text and to Shirim. Let me tell you, when you're in your commute, the app you want to be going on is Torah app. Obviously, you want to listen to the podcast, but after you're, you know, maybe on a 5-hour commute, you're going to go to Torah app. And you're going to access over 1 million shiurim. Guys, learning is never become easier with Torah app. So go ahead to the App Store and download Torah app. That is Torah app.
Question that's sent in from someone in the audience. I guess someone got my number here. Nice. How do you balance letting a student be fully himself while still guiding him toward growth?
I want you to hear the question. I want everybody to hear the question.
How do you balance letting it? No, you can say it again.
Say it again, say it again, say it again. Matthew.
No, you can reframe it.
I want you to say it.
No, I think what it's really saying is let's say someone does something. Let's say, this is an extreme example.
I like the wording.
Really, I know, but I want to like make it a little more deeper. You know? Let's say there's a guy who's expressed himself, he's a tattoo artist, and he's doing something that's against the Torah. That's his true expressive self. How do you take that child, that guy, and guide him toward a Torah path without suffocating who he's inside?
I wanna just say that a lot of chinuch, when we talk about guiding the guys, a lot of the words of education we have to change. The word, the question, and the questioner is, I'm sure, a wonderful person. They're used to education of a lot of manipulation. We're all souls that want good things. Every single one of us is a flaming soul that wants Kirvas Elikim Litoiv, that wants Hashem. You know, we say in Shemoneh Esrei, it's Anshei Knesset Hagdolos, the last Nevi'im, and we say, Ki Yishuascha Kivinu Kol Hayom. We want Hashem's Yeshua every day, all day, Kol Hayom. The cynic would say, really? I'm thinking on it. That's Are they beating St. Louis tonight? That's what I'm thinking.
Well, let's check.
Kilishuasa, please.
The Mets are up 4-1.
They're up 4-1.
Go.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. Can you imagine Beatty got on base?
Wow, that doesn't
mean wild.
Kilishuasa kivinu kol hayayim. We crave Hashem all day. Now, all of us are say Shemone Esrei. And there's a deep truth that we want Hashem. So whenever we talk about manipulating, I have to make sure, I actually want somebody to find the truth. To really find the truth and think that we're capable of really finding the truth. So it's not, what do you say, how do you lead, how do you guide? They're really truths. We have an neshama that really wants the truth. A therapist from Muncie called me up one day and he said, I've been watching the yeshiva for years and I figured you out. And whoa. I think he spoke to Nachi before this program because he's been on target with his questions.
His name is...
Well studied. But the therapist said, I figured the yeshiva out. He said, you really trust people? And there's like a pause. I'm like, there's a pause. He said, you're crazy. So people really have a soul that wants the right thing. And even the question which says, how do you direct, how do you encourage and you try to be truthful yourself? The best mechanic, the best yeshiva is not to manipulate, it's to actually present something that you watch a school and somebody's there trying to get guys to daven well, looking around. That's not daven. The mechanic in front should daven nicely. I was speaking recently at a school, and there were six teachers circulating to make sure everybody was being quiet. Is that a what? Could you imagine somebody now go around the crowd, nach, like looking around? That's not a learning environment. I asked the principal quietly, not to embarrass. I said, "Could you do me a favor? I can't speak like this. Could you please ask the teachers nicely, not in front of the kids, to sit down? And maybe if the teacher wants to listen, they're not listening when they're circulating. The best thing was, let's talk Torah, let's really learn. I'd rather there's one person in the crowd talking a little bit, and we really could learn. People perk up, people are interested in Torah. Real. Our people are here. Was anybody forced to be here? We're going to talk, we're trying to talk about chinuch, about Torah, about growth, and didn't come. I've watched the hotel over Pesach. It's mind-boggling. Was there a test? Does Miriam and Shaya give tests after Yom Kippur that I don't know about? That every is there? Well, maybe they pay people. Maybe they, do they take off? And I figured out, where's my rachel? I think they minus money from the hotel for every shiur you go to. People come to shiurim. It's mind-boggling. The whole Yom Kippur. This is a tremendously ruchnius. You know why? Because we're Yidden. Because we're Yidden, and it means something to be Yidden. We have big souls. That's the bottom line in Chinuch, that knowing that about all our, and then presenting something, the teacher in front, say Torah, that means something to you, that really means, don't manipulate, don't try to get my son to be, to do, to perform, to outperform, present truth, study Torah. And the guy said, well, when my father learned Torah with his shir, he was not a manipulator. He had a big gishmak in learning. He enjoyed learning. You don't have to tell your class, an amazing Rashba. They'll decide if it's amazing. Say a Rashba that you're curious about. Two things will happen. Either kids themselves, because Dvarim Ayotzim and Alev, Nechnasim and Alev, you're serious about it, they'll be interested. And even if they're not interested, it's very cool to be in front of a Rebbe who really likes the Rashba. And when my father taught, two things happened. He was excited by pshat. And either a kid that was very, like, pulled somebody in, and to the people who weren't pulled in, were very, very attracted to be around somebody who likes Torah. So just, instead of manipulating in the classroom, if it's up to me, in Beis Yaakov's and yeshivas, there'll be no more tests allowed on Hebrew subjects. Zero. Zero, zero, zero. I think it should be abolished. I think it takes away Avas HaTorah, a love of Torah. It takes away your joy for Torah. Everybody came to Shiurim here. There are no tests. And I think a test is for later on. I think my father liked when you're like get tested. I think tests should be voluntary in the class. Only voluntary. And a test is cool. You want to make sure you know it, you like it, you review for it. Excellent. But it's not based on grades and tests. I think for Lashon Kodesh, that should be out for all Hebrew subjects. Only math, science, social studies, those should be tested. And those use all the manipulations in the world. Excellent. But our Torah, we're wired for Torah.
I just got a text from someone here. My brother, he said, you would have done really well in school without tests. That's a real message. It's true also. Switching gears a little bit to focusing on the parenting as opposed to the institutions, because truly that's where a lot of the work happens, at home. What do you wish every single parent understood about their child's needs, what they actually need from young to teenagers that are getting ready to leave the house? What is the need of that child from their parent?
I want to say firstly that I'm moved by parents. That I think parents have a lot of answers, and I would tell parents actually to trust themselves. I would actually say there are many styles of chinuch, and a lot of mistakes are made when parents give over. This is not a rip on institutions. Our best people are rebbeim. They should be paid better. Our best people...
How much should they be being paid? I'm curious.
How much should they be paid?
Yeah, because I had this discussion with Rabbi Bender, and I don't know if I want
to... Who's the polar bear in the Mets?
Pete Alonso.
How much does he make a year?
60 million? 20 million? 20 million.
So Rebbe, about a little more than that. I want to say that Rebbe, this is not a rip on Morris Rebbe and teachers, amazing. But I want to say that parents, you are the mechanic. Do not give over chinuch. I'm the principal. I don't want one mother in my institution to give over the chinuch of their children to me. I don't want, and I say this sincerely, I'm around Pesach parents. Hashem gave you a child. You're the mechanech of the child. A lot of mistakes are people, even a lot of their relationship to their kid is getting them to work in school. Stop. Let the school handle school. That's not your job to make it. Many mistakes are made. The parents are called into the principal's office, and now they're like shluchim of the principal. No. The principal is your shliach. And I say this under parents dream big things for their children. And Hashem gave a parent a child. Trust yourselves. I've seen again, be mechanech from a place of good midas. Be mechanech from a place of good midas. Can I share a vart, Nachi? I'm turning a podcast into a speech. I'm sorry.
I kind of felt like that was going to happen. You said you weren't going to do that, though.
Yeah.
You can share a vart, sure. If I say no, I look terrible. What are you going to say? You cannot share of our, no. Yeah, go ahead.
It's the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda, it says, Isi ben Yehuda counted the praise of his Talmidim. And he said Rabbi Yehuda was smart when he wants to be. Is that a praise? You go to PTA and somebody says, your kid is smart when he wants to be? Complicated, right? But the Gemara says in Rabbi Yehuda, would you call that a praise?
I just saw my mother say that's what they said to me. You said that, right? That's exactly what they said to you, right?
That's like the potential word.
Yeah, they have a ton of potential. They have good midos.
Potential doesn't mean what your kid could be. We all have potential. Potential, there's so much potential. It means how much he's not doing. So smart when he wants to be sounds like a terrible line. If he just wanted, does he usually want? But that's what it says about Rabbi Yehuda. The Maritz Chiyus says, Rabbi Yehuda was smart when he wants to be. He says that when we're angry, we don't have access to our chachma. When we're in a state of bad midos, jealousy, anger, we can't access our wisdom. We become dumb. So Rabbi Yehuda was smart when he wants to be, means he had good midos. And I say to parents, trust your chinuch. Your children were given to you. Trust yourself. I beg parents one thing, to trust themselves. I have seen the parents of the yeshiva are forces in chinuch. I'm amazed by parents, the fathers and the mothers. I say, to access your own wisdom, make sure you're coming from good midas. So make sure we're not coming from what the neighbors are going to say, from embarrassed. Just come from a place of good midas, because then we can access our wisdom. When we're angry, jealous, in bad moods, our wisdom is completely lost from us. Kas b'cheik, silim yanuach. It's a pasuk. Person's a tipish when they're b'kas. So I say to parents, I actually, when Nachi says what I would want to say to parents, is be mechanich your child. Connect, relate, understand, love. And I'm amazed by parents. And don't give up, chinuch, they're your children. Relate to each child, connect to each child, form an honest relationship with each child, and understand that Hashem gave you this child. You have a lot of answers to the child. My goal in yeshiva, one of the goals, is a bachur should be closer to his mom, should be closer to his dad. I think that relationship, nobody replaces dad, nobody replaces mom. My father was somebody who was a goyim b'tayra, and he gave credit to everything he became from his mother. Now, his mother was a wonderful yid who went to public school. Was a wonderful. He gave credit, and my father was not an exaggerator. And he gave credit to who he became, to his parents, where his main rebbeim, he learned by giants. Parents are huge in a kid's life. Come from a place of good midos, so we can access the certain chachma that Hashem gives us to raise our children.
A message that was just sent in. What would you say to the good kid who feels undervalued when seeing the kid who's struggling getting more attention from the Rebbe/teacher? Doesn't that send a message that quote-unquote not such good kid behavior gets rewarded? Now,
I love that question. You've been asked. You've been on fire all
night.
Nachi's been perfect all night. That might have been... Somebody once called me up and say, you tease, you make fun of the good kid. He said, people are listening to the shiur. And there might be like a good kid out there is listening. The mythical good kid. And what I want to say is that I don't fall for the externals. I don't fall for it. The one who's stark, we're all holy souls that are struggling. All of us, all. Me, you, and every guy in here, and every guy in every Beis Medrash you ever saw. People who are mechanchim, people and educators have a challenge. There's like a whole, people feel like phonies, like they're frauds. If they're in position, it's a complex, like as if they're a fake, because they're aware of their own struggles, of their own difficulty. They look, everybody else just seems, look at a hotel, everybody seems so comfortable, and so we all have struggles. It's human to struggle in this world. To ever, the kid who looks like they're struggling, I have more pity on the kid, I should say pity, but I think the one who needs the hug even more is the one who can't, necessary. I was that kid who couldn't show that I was struggling because it's scary to do that. I kept my yarmulke on, Baruch Hashem. But we all have struggles. It's human to struggle. And I think Nachi's spot on that every Rebbe has to know this. I don't care if the kid is in BMG 16th year in Kailul for 14th, Baruch Hashem.
Sounds expensive.
Yeah, is a chassid from Williamsburg. Beautiful person from Teaneck, a Kohl guy from Teaneck. It doesn't matter. The human being struggles. The human being needs chizuk. So I think Nachi's just right. It would be a tremendous mistake to ignore any person and not to give chizuk and encouragement and understanding to any person. And I think somebody could say, and I think if people look in superficial ways, could say, this one's strong, this one's struggling. Don't ignore any member of our people. Everybody, we all run on chizuk, need encouragement, need need love, need attention. So I that kid who would say, I'm not being noticed because I don't seem to be struggling, I would say you're spot on. And let's notice that kid, 1,000%.
Yeah. But if we're addressing this, like, this child who's struggling is getting all the attention and he's acting out, perhaps that kid who's not struggling will then say, well, if I was doing X, Y, and Z, I would get that attention. And I would get the flat screen that my parents are buying me because they need to, you know, keep me happy, and so on.
I don't want to just push him. Nachi's been honest all night. It's a podcast. Here I'll tell you something really. I've been staying honest, but Nachi's pushing, so I'll tell you the truth.
With Rishos, yes?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. I'll tell you something that I'm going to say publicly. Many a kid has asked to come to Waterbury, asked their parents, could I go to Waterbury Misifta? And the parents like, you're not struggling like that. So the kid said, if I take off my yama, and the kid's not doing that. I have to show you, I want to say the bit, and I get in trouble for this. Nachi asked, I feel misunderstood. I have been asked by people, big people, I like the yeshiva, but you take him in, he's stark. Stark guys could come to our base mesh, the most stark. You don't have to have trouble, you have to want sincerity, that's it. There are guys in yeshiva who come to minyanim, who say, you come to the Waterbury base mesh, you'd be shocked. There's range, and I don't look at it. Somebody else wants to define, that's for other people. Place of sincerity, I don't define who that's for. And I want to say, like Nachi's saying, the kid who's like just sincere, what about that kid, the most sincere, I promise. He needs encouragement, understanding, connection. He's not on autopilot. And he might finish the Masechta 14 times. And everybody's proud. And keeping away, I have seen cases where we try to keep him. He's so sharp, protect him from that kid. And that kid, that honest kid, and not that he's not honest for 14 times, but you don't. He's also has his insecurities, and sometimes his insecurities. I was that kid. Insecurities can drive you to finish 14 times. But there could be insecurities and worries and uncomfortableness in him. And to really understand, don't just like protect him from the troubled kids. I want to tell you a story. Avi would appreciate this, but I'll tell you a story. We have a guy, the last night of yeshiva, Avi's been there. Many guys in yeshiva share their story the last night. They share their story with the yeshiva. It went last year for 9.5 hours in front of 250 people. Guys get up and share their story. There's a lot of crying. It's the most remarkable night. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I've gone to rehabs and listened to people speak honestly. I've gone to meetings. It's a me'ain of what I see the last night. It's mind-boggling. And guys, nobody has to speak. And nobody's forced, nobody's pressured. Plenty of guys don't speak. Last year, maybe 35, 40 guys spoke, 30, 35, something in that range. It went 9.5 hours. People with not the most attention span, we sat there crying, and people talk and say their story. So one bucher gets up and says, could I tell my story? I was the best guy in my class, 4th grade, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. Similar to the kid Rav Nachi spoke about, said I was stark. He was stark. 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, great top guy. He got into a top masifta in America. 9th grade, he was acing it. Now he's a top kid in the top masifta acing it. Late in 9th grade, late in the year, he starts hanging in his own, when he goes back home in his community with kids in 7-Eleven, kids struggling. By 10th grade, he's smoking pot. Late in 10th grade, he's chucked out of his yeshiva. Sorry to talk that way. So he said the last night in Waterbury, he said, I am the poster child of keep your kid away from the dangerous kids. Look what they fell, the mighty one. I was top, and being around them, look what happened. Keep your kids from the bad kids. He said, I'd like to tell my story tonight. I won't say his whole story. He described the life His father had run away from home. He described the life of a life that you go to shul and you don't feel connected to our people. And he said he had tremendous motivation to be a top kid. He thought that would get him acceptance. And he got into a top place. He was fighting for something. He said in middle of ninth grade, he said to himself, inside I feel like the same outsider. I still feel empty. I feel lonely. He described in detail what it means. Yeah, I'm mine. And he goes up to his aliyah as a bachur and he has no father next to him. He described what that feels like and what that looks like. And he said, I was fighting for something, a connection, a part of something, something, a father figure. He said, in middle of ninth grade, I said to myself, you fool, for 5 years you're doing the same thing. Said, I was looking for something. I went to the bad kids. Said, there I'll get friendship, connection. I'll get something. He said it didn't work, but I was looking for something. He then thanked the guys in yeshiva. Said, this is the first time in my life I feel friendship, connection, honesty. Thank you to the guys.
We'll be right back this episode, but I am excited to talk about a new book that has just come out by Uri Kaufman. You ever think, why are so many smart people so hostile to Israel? And how come they're saying things about Israel that are patently false? Well, from acclaimed historian Uri Kaufman, whose analysis of the Yom Kippur War was hailed as a masterpiece by the CIA Center for Intelligence, comes the urgent new book, American Intifada, Israel, the Gaza War, and the new anti-Semitism. With meticulous research, Kaufman exposes how mainstream media perpetuates falsehoods about Israel because it misapplies American racial frameworks to distort Middle Eastern realities. American Intifada, Truth That Cuts Through Propaganda. It's essential reading for understanding our moment. It's available right now on Amazon or Old Republic book publishers. So go ahead and get that book, American Intifada, Israel, the Gaza War, and the New Anti-Semitism, a book that you're going to want to read. And this episode is sponsored by Town Appliance, my besties. Town Appliance are my best friends. You really should know that. When I sleep at night, I dream about Town Appliance. That's the truth. I dream about a Weber grill on like 25% off. I dream about like a full suite savings, you know, whether it's Wolf Appliance or Sub-Zero or Cove. Like, these are the things that I dream about. Now, that might be an issue with me, or it might be an issue with you. Why are you not dreaming about the appliances that are in your backyard or in your kitchen? Huh? You ever think about that? What is wrong with you? Well, something clearly is if you're not going to townappliance.com right now and seeing, well, what can we do, honey, for our outdoor area this summer? A new grill? Maybe some new furniture? Well, Town Appliance has you covered. Go to townappliance.com right now. Or how about this? You can even send them a message on WhatsApp and say, this crazy redhead told me about you guys, and he might have lost his mind because he's dreaming about you. But I want to hear about what you can do for me. So townappliance.com, or hit the link in the show notes below and send a message on WhatsApp.
Even the question that I asked, I was thinking while you were answering, maybe it's a misconception that as if a kid who's actually whole and good could just flip a switch and say, nah, I'm not good anymore. Maybe the whole thing is just a perception from the outside. Maybe it's a facade. Maybe he never really was whole inside.
I like that.
And maybe we have to put more trust in these kids.
Do you know, the guys have been saying their story the last night for 8 years now. Do you know not one kid ever said, I was a stark kid and the bad kid got me? Not one kid. On a night of honesty, when kids are describing the most horrific, describing going through the deepest trauma, the victim and the bad guy in things, on a night, you would faint from the honesty. You can't. There's a nurse in yeshiva who's not yet a yid, who wants to become a yid. He became a maimon. He comes to davening every single day before he works in yeshiva. He prays. I brought him a prayer shawl, and he prays with us. And he was there the whole night. A lot of the night, he told me it changed my life. He's a father, a grandfather. Told me it changed. Tonight of honesty, you know, nobody ever said that thing we worry, that kid's influencing my son. We're hearing the guys talk. The parents said, my son's good, just his friends influence him. You know, I never once heard that the last night, never once, on a night of honesty. Now you might ask, but Chazal say, Adam nimshach achas divaisav. A person's affected by his environment. Yes, but why is he going there? Look deeper. He had different friends. Why is he going to that friend? Yes, a person's impacted by their friends. Every kid knows that. And we all know that that's a truth. So why is he going to that friend, not this friend? Look deeper, ask questions, find out, understand. We must understand. The question is, I'm still going back to that. What did you ask, Nachi?
Don't even remember.
We both forgot, okay.
Yeah, that's how good the answer was. You know, I think the answer that maybe a lot of, I don't know what generation they're part of, will answer when you look at this generation is Yerida Sederis, right? But when you look at this next generation, what gives you hope? What do you see in them that says the future of Klal Yisrael is in such good hands?
Insane, yeah. There's an honesty, there's a plugging in to where I'm at, to how things are hitting me, a want for connection. There was an age, and rightfully, we were soldiers, rightfully, we're on the backs of our parents and grandparents. My grandmother was a soldier, remarkable human being. Anything I have in the world is from my oma. She was 16, her parents were killed by the Nazis. Her siblings killed by the Nazis, her aunts and uncles killed by the Nazis. Her entire city was murdered by the Nazis, my grandmother. And at 16, she was alone in the world. She had one brother who survived, who she didn't know about for a couple of years. He was in a different continent. And my holy grandmother persevered, was an incredible human being. And she was a soldier, remarkable. And we come from soldiers. We stand on our grandparents' back and our parents. And now we have a generation that's digging in. There's a lot of anxiety. My kids have anxiety that I don't have because I was rooted in action. I ignored those parts of me. If I met somebody I was uncomfortable, I just told them of her.
You just told me about 5 minutes ago.
See, I'm still doing it. You see that? And all of a sudden, our kids are very, very present and feeling and experiencing. They're very, very present. That's today's dar, is experiencing and feeling. And it gives me, I feel the footsteps, ikvus of the Mashiach. It's the footsteps of Mashiach that there's like the psukim describe the generation of Mashiach, that a heart of stone is going to become a lev baser. I did not know how to cry till I met the guys of today. I'm learning how to cry. I cry much more. Not often enough, but much more. And guys, there's a bachur in the yeshiva who's writing a sefer today's grown worlds. This bachur, when he came, to your eyes, you might have said a troubled kid. To me, he changed my life. And he always used to say, "You love when I cry." I was like, "Oh." But through him, I'm starting to learn to cry. Real men cry. Real people cry. Real people feel. Can I do something weird, Nachi?
Yeah, this whole thing is weird, so let's go.
let's up the weirdness one. I don't think it's ever happened. This is a meaningful people, which means a yid. I'm a yid. We're all meaningful people. I want to call up another meaningful person, which means a yid. There's a guy in yeshiva who composed the song. I'm begging him to be a dorm counselor in yeshiva. I want him to impact guys. And he composed the song, "I Believe We're Souls." And we have a neshama that wants Hashem. He composed the song that dazzles me because it speaks about the soul, that we have a soul. Would it be weird in the middle of meaningful people to call up a meaningful guy to sing a song that we have a soul?
Yeah. It would be weird. Let's do it.
I'll do the other guitar here.
Okay, you get the guitar.
Well,
how far?
You see, I could talk for long. You get a guitar, and I want you to play
alive.
That song alive.
Oh, yes.
Let's do it.
Avi, what floor are you on? What's your room number? I'm kidding, don't say. Wait, could you go get your guitar?
I don't have a guitar.
Okay. Oh, I thought you said you had a guitar. Who has a guitar here?
You may have a guitar.
Yeah, it's yours.
Okay, I'm gonna run again.
Shimmy, not too fast.
Oh, the trouble.
Okay, we're getting the guitar. Okay, so a question that came in, I see one of the messages. And we're not stalling for the guitar. We actually have more questions, don't worry. When a parent sees, they're getting a Chinook resume for their daughter, and they see by the high school or base manager, Waterbury, Miss Sifta, and let's say they don't have the knowledge that we all have in this room tonight, and their heart skips a beat, and they hesitate, why would...
I think I'm unleashing like a little troublemaker in me. My favorite Chinook call in the world is when people try to dance around the question. We don't want to insult, and then there's like a funny like entrance way into I just want to know, nothing personal. Just want to know. Then like it's like blurts out. Says he went to Waterbury.
Why do you go to Waterbury? What do you do?
I love when that happens. It's so much fun. I usually, if you're one of the people who was played with, I usually like play around with them.
Oh,
do I have a fun time with
that? Can we do that right now? All right, Rabbi Kalish, so I see that.
One second, okay. Let me have my phone.
Oh, it's a flip phone, of course.
I just wanted to show that off.
Yeah, that thing has waste, though. You know,
my smartphone is right in here.
Yeah. Rabbi Kalish, I see on the resume that it says that he went to Waterbury. I know he's a Talmud Chacham, and he probably has such potential. And his midos out of this world. But what did he do wrong? play with it, I guess.
Yeah, it's the most fun. This conversation could go many, many directions, all different ways to go with. But the short of it is many of our youth, and it doesn't mean, I usually will tell them that please don't judge a kid who didn't go to Waterbury. Please don't just look for Waterbury Shidduch. No, I would understand that. But even if the kid didn't go, many, many of our kids are authentic and want truth. Do not judge a kid.
See what you did there.
So that's usually, some have some version of that. But I do want to say that there's a range in yeshiva. And I'm in a serious way, people can ask, but I'm afraid, like, did this whole thing become by getting people, we're going to have papers outside that you could sign up for the yeshiva?
No, let's just do an appeal right now. We're building a new base medrash. That's what this is about.
I just want to say that I get it, that a lot of chinuch is from that place of fear. That my kids with that, I don't like the tier system, the shtark. I think we're hurting the strong kid. I think we really hurt the strong. Produce, keep up. I don't think that's what serving Hashem is. I think a person should be a Talmud Chacham Mufla, Kol HaTorah Kula. But I think the space is sincerity. Be sincere. Play within yourself. Be sincere. Find what resonates. You have a soul. You really want it, like it. It's not the space to become famous. It's not what it is. Biggest Yidden in the world. The biggest Yidden are just sincere. If it was, I'm sitting up here loud. I have an older brother who fixes. He's a person who finished Shas. He is a lot bigger than I, a lot bigger. He's quiet. That's probably one of the ways that he's bigger. Can I tell you a funny story, Nachim? Our Rebbe, we both have Shaykhs to Yeshiva Rockaway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rabbi,
what was your experience? I'm kidding. Only got a person.
Rabbi Per Zatzal, my Rebbe, his father called him up and said, tell a certain bachur in Yeshiva Rockaway that his grandfather was a tzaddik. There were two brothers, I remember their names, two brothers. And Raiper's father said, tell these two boys that their grandfather was a tzaddik. I knew them from Europe, from Litta. So my Rebbe said, they're American bachurim. Do they, you know, they're not going to understand what that means at tzaddik. What do you mean there was a tzaddik? Says father, who was a huge person, thinks for a minute and says, please tell those two boys that their grandfather was a quiet man.
What does that say about us right now?
What Nachid, what you're doing is wonderful because publicity and being in the public is not a bad thing. It actually gives the opportunity to speak about the sincerity. And sincerity is awesome, and it's important to put sincerity to the public. There's nothing wrong with publicity. One could survive publicity. There's nothing wrong with fame. One could survive these things. but it has to stay authentic. What Nachi does is phenomenal. To ever, chinuch is very public. All chinuch, so you're in a public. You could bring to a public space authenticity and sincerity. You're allowing on your podcast this crazy guy to bring up another beautiful person to sing a song. You should be in the public space, Nachi. That's so there's nothing wrong in front if we can maintain the authenticity, and we want our youth to shoot for that which is real.
Getting deep for a second. We haven't been deep the whole time, but and boy who's listening right now at home, and he's not getting any of this love that you mentioned at home, he's not getting in yeshiva, and he's really, really struggling. And he's listening to this podcast, sorry, Daniel Kalish, and he could hear a message from you directly. I want you to close your eyes and picture that boy. He's sitting right here in this room in the front row, and speak to him.
Wow. I'm not impressed. Question after question. I didn't know what would be tonight.
Neither
there was no rehearsing. And I just want to thank Nachi for what he's doing and what he does. I want to appreciate him a lot. This is not a ploy to ignore the question. I want to, that question, somebody's sitting somewhere and he's not getting the validation. And maybe he's stark, maybe he's not. But he feels, is he being noticed, appreciated? Is he being seen? And if he feels he's not. And he might even be producing and being having some success. But as he noticed, I would say to find somebody, they're real people all around. We're beautiful people. Anybody sitting in this hotel, you walk around, you meet crazy good people, really good people. I'm going to say it, the name. I'm not like looking to just shout out a name cheaply. My wife and I come back here, we're amazed by this place. There's a closeness. I feel in the hallway. I just feel I pass by Yehuda. We hug each other. There's sincerity. There's goodness. Dr. Lipschitz, every shiur, and you watch him learn. You watch him with his beautiful family. Really amazing people. I do want to say that there's a family in here that you, everything I'm speaking about, celebrating the soul, people count and matter. There's a family here that I've seen. When I see somebody, Makariv, struggling kids, Makariv, elderly people, little kids, I'm the most impressed when it's every yid, no exception. There's a family here, no matter what age you are, no matter how stark you look or don't look, they're warm to. The Adar family, it's amazing to see. This hotel is the smallest hotel. Because of the Adar, it's the smallest hotel I've ever seen in my life. We started out like a big crowd. We're no longer big. Big is like there were a lot of foreigners. There were a lot of like, when the Adars are 2 days in, we're like a tiny little family. Like, I don't think we should invite some people here. No, you want to hold Rebbetzin Adar? Shouldn't we invite people here? I think it's like just a small place. They should invite some people here. But the family, the way they respect every single, and I want to say to that person listening, that we're good people. Find somebody you trust, only you. I don't like teaching youngsters. Somebody once came to Waterbury, a very intelligent person, and he said, he asked if he can interview some of our guys. Aaron, you'll like this. He pulled four guys in a room, and he said, come on, how stupid are you? To one guy, it was his fourth yeshiva. To a guy he spoke to that day, it was his 11th yeshiva. So he said, how stupid are you guys? You go to different yeshivas, okay, I don't like this. And now you like bought the Kool-Aid. What, they hug you so nicely? They say nice things? Come on. You guys look like real dudes. You fall for this? That's what he asked these four guys. That's a hard-hitting question. So come on, you guys fall for this? So a very intelligent guy looked him in the face and he said back, he said, I don't trust, I'm not taught here, trust this Rebbe, trust that Rebbe. He said, I didn't come here and trust one Rebbe. I've learned to trust and believe in myself. He said, I can't be cynical about me. I'm not trusting him. I trust me. I have found stuff me. The unique part about the yeshiva and what yeshivas, what I want for yeshivas is their space for people. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. We're not a yeshiva of answers. We're yeshiva that has room for people and their problems. There's room for me and my problems. There's room for kids and their problems. We all got our questions. I'm speaking this Pesach to a brilliant yid. I'm like dazzled by his brilliance. He has questions that I'm trying to like plug into. Yidden have big questions that are really cool questions, bring us places. I want a Beis Medrash that there's room for people and their questions. People and their challenges. People and their worries. It's just space. There's really space. I say to that youngster, you don't have to switch. Stay in your yeshiva. Find somebody in your shul, in your family, in your yeshiva that you can open up and speak to and connect to. I promise they're out there. You can find somebody. I beg you, trust yourself. You'll sense it. And if you don't trust somebody, don't open up to them. Nobody can tell you, trust me. No. You have an innate sense, Nikarim Divrei Emes. I beg that kid, find somebody you trust. If you're a boy, find a man. You're a girl, find a woman. Find a lady you trust and talk. Talk real. Don't hold back. Talk real. Find it. There are people you can trust. Open up. Speak. It helps.
So before I call up Avi Friedler for a nice, beautiful song who has a guitar, can we all make some noise so people know here on camera that there's people in the room here? Yeah? So
I think what we'll get some noise, if I can call up somebody who's honest, who's impacted my life, who's changed my life, if I can call up one of my close friends, Avi Friedler, please come up. Thank you, Phil.
Oh, here we go. Let's go.
When is the girls' Waterbury Bistapa without test? Entire opening up.
I just want to say publicly that if you can all help me, I have asked Mrs. Adar, my wife and I have asked Mrs. Adar, we want to open that school hopefully in a short relative amount of time. We've asked Mrs. Adar to please teach there. So if anybody here can help us, Rev Daniel and I are both kind of with fellow Daniels, and we're both going to try to work on this together. If anybody can assist us, just by hands or noise, if you think Mrs. Adar should teach, in the
what's the pay?
How much does the polar bear make?
Does she bat 320?
Only the uniforms are tutus.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is our school going to be in trouble already? This song is about finding the soul. The soul that wants Hashem. I can ask Avi to please present. The song is written by Avi.
Thank you, Avi. It's good guitar, thank you.
I think there's an ocean behind my eyes. All these emotions I can't deny. And I try to hold it in, but I'm getting tired. When I cry and I feel something I can't deny. Cause somehow inside there's something alive waiting for me to live, and I can't describe the feeling of hope that never dies. For as long as I live, I'm choosing to be alive. Breakthrough the walls that I
That's incredible. What does that song mean to you?
Soul. We got a soul. Something alive inside. We have to know this. We have to know it for ourselves. The older we are, the more we have to know it. I came into Waterbury. I was stark. The neshama was not something I thought much about. It was like this concept some spiritual guy would speak about. Some like funny. After meeting friends of mine, the neshama is something I have inside that wants Hashem. And I could access it, I could touch it. It doesn't mean I'll always be in touch and sing with it. And I think we have to find it. Our own souls that want, when you're at a shir and something resonates, you're feeling something, it meant something to you. When you hear Avi sing, you watch a person who's neshamadik and who discovered his soul inside something alive that wants. When you're learning Torah and something like hits and resonates, we have deep souls, kirbas elikim li tay, that wants Hashem. It's powerful and it's us. This is for all of us. From stark to starker to starkest. I don't know who each one is, that's just... But it's relevant to us all. There's a soul inside and the song like shouts that. The song expresses both the person who sung it and the song itself expressed that to me.
Rabbi Kalish, thank you so much for being the first ever Meaningful People Live guest. Thank you, Avi Friedler. Thank you, everybody who came. And now we're going to a concert by Benny Freeman that's waiting for you guys. So enjoy and thank you for coming.
Thank you, man.
You have been listening to Ashir from ShasIlluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Iyun shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS, that's 203-312-7427, or email info@shasilluminated.org.